hair piles in the house.
She said her hair was just everywhere.
At Rough Greens, we know dogs need live nutrition just like we do.
We have had a lot of issues with her skin.
Sometimes itching and scratching, lack of energy, digestive issues, they're not medical issues at all, but more likely they're nutritional deficiencies from eating dead food.
A lot of the nutrients just aren't there anymore.
The good news is you don't have to change your dog's food to improve your dog's health. Simply add a scoop of Rough Greens and make even the best dog food better.
I was truly amazed how fast it worked.
One of the most noticeable things is her coat doesn't have the itching.
She doesn't shed as much.
It wasn't even 2 weeks that I saw a drastic improvement.
We're so confident that your dog will love Rough Greens that we're going to let them try it before you buy it. Free. Just cover the shipping. Get your free bag of Rough Greens today at ruffgreens.com. That's ruffgreens.com.
I wish we would have found Rough Greens a lot sooner.
So good, your dog will ask for it by name.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the No Bad Dogs podcast, and as well as my second channel if you're watching this on YouTube. And if you're listening to this on podcast form, you could head over to my YouTube channel, which is in the description, and watch this on video, or you're just watching this on Spotify, whatever. Guys, I wanted to hop on here and talk about something that popped into my head over this weekend, and it was the difference between aggression and reactivity. And so I took notes. Like, I was literally walking my dog Burley, and I was in my head, I was talking to myself about, well, the difference between like a dog like Burley, and I should back up a little bit, because what I meant to say was the difference between what? Reaction and protection. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the No Bad Dogs podcast. If you're watching this on my second channel on YouTube, what's going on? And if you want to watch this on YouTube, you can click the link in the description. Thank you guys for hopping on here with me today. And today I wanted to talk about something that popped into my head when I was working with my dog Burley over the weekend. So the difference between reactivity, protection, and aggression, and also the similarities between all of them. And Burley, as you guys know, he's my South African Mastiff, one of the most protective dog breeds in the world. And he is teaching me so much about dogs. He is giving me big, big, big generous slices of humble pie. Just when you think you're like, okay, I have this whole leash reactivity thing pretty dang figured out, 13 years. And then this guy comes into my life and just starts to unravel everything. And not in a way of me unlearning, but in a way of me learning with a dog that instinctually creates all of the things we're talking about today: reaction, protection, and aggression. And I want to go over them because I just talked with some clients online and they were dealing with something similar to a very, very short degree, and which is like they had a Great Pyrenees mix that had some protective issues around the owner, which I'm like, okay. So, as you guys know, for years, I've been talking and teaching about genetics and how you can't tell a fish not to swim. That's kind of like my go-to analogy. And it's true. But, you know, for dogs like Burley, again, very, very reactive, big, very protective, big dog. When I'm out with him, the interesting thing about him is he will literally, I'm not using my podcast mic today, but I have another mic. Anyway, he's hit or miss. He's not consistent. So I go out with him and he can see another dog and I've counter-conditioned him and he looks back up at me for food. I can go out with him and he'll see another dog and he absolutely gets cued right up. And so I have to go through these cycles of what am I going to do? Because and I know that this kind of sounds odd to say, especially from a dog trainer, but I don't have much to say about how he feels in those situations. Let me explain. So when I'm out with him, especially a very instinctually reactive dog. And what that means is when he locks in on another dog, I talked to his breeder recently. I talked to several of my friends recently about his development and his maturity, because as he gets older, he just turned 2 this month of December, he is going to change and he is changing. And so I'm picking my friend's brains and I'm talking to his breeder about what we can expect, what can we do. And we live in upstate New York. And so it's, I mean, rock salt guys, the size of like, I don't even know, like the size of quarters, like the size of little pebbles, rock salt. So it's very difficult to walk the dogs. And some people might say, oh, well, Tom, why don't you get paw protection? Well, if I, this dog would have a great fun time fighting me to put little things on his paw. I would love to. And out of comedy, pure comedic value, I might actually do that on my Instagram just to show you guys how that would go. So my point is I don't have an opportunity to walk him as much. I walk him right now like 3 times a day for about 25 minutes, morning, midday, and then evening. And we do training in conjunction with all of that, like on the walks. But my point is there's times where he becomes reactive. There's times where he becomes aggressive. And then there's times where he becomes protective. And they all kind of like cycle. And I'm not sure exactly in his mind, and this is the reason why I'm telling you this story is because it's very relevant to a lot of people at home who have a dog that can do some of this stuff on the leash as well. And so with that being said, like, again, I can walk by dogs he could care less about. I could walk about another dog in the same walk and I have to avoid. Like, I'm at a point where I can see him queue up. And I know immediately there's no getting to him. He is at a point where he is, and this is what I wanted to talk about. When you have a very particular dog like Burley, I'm using him as an example. He actually thinks when he gets into that mode, like when he does lock in and you can't reach him mentally or physically, he actually thinks that that thing is a real threat, right? So that's real protection. And the aggression is kind of a caveat and something that's just there out of just because it's there, right? So aggression can be defined as many different things. But when he does lock in, and I know, because I can tell immediately when he's locked in, now that he's two, and I can see him lock in, it's all over from there. I have to avoid the situation, but there's nothing wrong with that, you know, and I've been talking about that for years. Like, it's much safer if you feel like you physically or like you have to ask yourself, what's the benefit of this? And for dogs like Burley, and if you guys are out there dealing with a dog who has this level of protection, or in some cases has a level of aggression where they actually don't like other dogs, they want to hurt other dogs, they have hurt other dogs, they have bite histories with other dogs. You have to ask yourself, like, is this good for me? This is part of like what I've learned with meditation and other things in life. You should try to take the easier route if the ROI or the benefits don't benefit you, right? Like, there's why hang on to this? Just let go. So my point is like with Burley, when he gets this worked up, there's times where I look at him, he gets queued up, and I go the other way. Not worth it. Because I can't reach him when he gets to that point. And it could be, you know, because he's such a big dog, and for those of you at home, like, if you have a dog that also has, I can't get to you, like, no matter what corrections you use, no matter how good your obedience is, these are things that are mandatory and extraordinarily helpful. And 95% of the time will probably counter the actual reactivity, stop the reactivity, or make the reactivity so less that you can move forward. But there are particular dogs, and I want to say I'm learning this, but I haven't worked with many dogs like Burley that go into that very instinctual mode. Literally, he thinks that dog is going to kill the thing he, or is going to harm the thing he cares about the most, which is me on the leash. Like, that's his prerogative right now. And again, I'm still working on if it's intact males, altered males, females, like I'm still working on that. And I haven't figured that out. So I've come to this point in my training specifically with Burley. And again, this isn't a Burley. I'm just using him as a reference. This is all about you guys more importantly. But I just think it's important for me to really talk about some of the things I'm learning with a dog like Burley, because he's teaching me a heaps. So I go into this system, right, that I'm like, okay, I'm either going to avoid this situation because he's locked in, or I can tell I'm reaching him. And what that looks like is this. So he sees a dog and he looks back up at me because he knows I've counter conditioned him with food. And for those of you who don't know what counter conditioning is, essentially I've taught him that if he looks up at me while there's a dog present, he gets paid food, 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 food. And I've done this and I'll be completely honest with you. The reason why I did this is because when he was younger, especially 6 months when I started really heavily working on engagement with him, we have, and if anybody lives in my neighborhood right now watching this or listening to this, thank you for all your patience with all the things that I do in my neighborhood throughout the years of filming with dogs. But we have, I think, 9 Goldens who live in my neighborhood. 9. I'm not exaggerating. 8 to 9. Some of them have 2, but I'm not exaggerating. Most of them are cream Goldens, blah, blah, blah. But when he was younger, many dogs that we pass do not have good control over their dogs and they're reactive. So could this play a role in why he is more reactive to some dogs versus not? Absolutely. Because he's had many events where he's completely minding his own business and dogs are like really worked up that he's there because of his size and because of his balls, basically. But could that play a role? Absolutely. But it's nothing I'm, you know, putting my hat on because he is a big protective dog. But my point is when he was younger, so many dogs were really out of control and I wanted to maintain control with this dog because I knew what he was going to become. I knew how big he was going to be, how strong he was going to be, potentially how protective and reactive he could be. I knew that. Like, and if you guys remember the day I brought him home, Burley, if you look back on my YouTube channel, you can find him backing. Lakota, my Dutch Shepherd, came up to say hi to him and he backed her up, like barking at her at 8 weeks. He was like a little loaf of bread. So anyway, so this is important for you guys because if you really look at your dog's roadmap and path of training, you have to like take these things into consideration. I can't talk there for a second. Take these things into consideration. Like, you know, again, with Burley, I worked on engagement. So how I counter conditioned him is I would go out, all these dogs walking around my neighborhood, no offense, don't have good control. So, and they're pets and people just don't really care, right? They're out for a walk. They think that their dog pulling them or reacting on the leash is part of being a dog owner. And of course, for me and a lot of you listening and watching, that is not actually the reality. It could be much better than that. And actually your relationship could be much healthier if you did other things. So anyway, so a lot of his life when I went out for a walk, we got all this feedback from other dogs on flexies, on collar, just barking at him, reacting to him. And we always just pushed straight through it. And so now the tables have kind of turned a little bit where now he's 2 years old. He's really feeling himself. And if you have big dogs, especially if they're intact, males in particular, they mature very, very slowly. So he just started really coming into his, I'm a big boy at 2, like this last 2 months. And so that's important for you to understand that in the beginning of his life, like a lot of people say, oh, like out of nowhere, my dog became reactive, but maturity has a great deal of play with that. So it's important for you to know that. So I counter conditioned him a lot. When he looks at me, he gets paid. And he'll do that with a lot of dogs on the walk. I would say 9 times out of 10, he'll do that with the dog. And then again, if I do see him, and this is just my strategy, if I do see him lock in, I go the other way because it's not worth me trying to battle this dog because he really needs to get to this dog. Now, again, to give you guys context with my particular dog, he has had dogs reacting to him in my own neighborhood that have dragged up to him and been aggressive towards him, and he really just kind of doesn't know what to do. So again, he's never, he's had bad experiences due from other dogs, not him in particular. Now he is reacting towards dogs. And again, I don't know if it's because he remembers. I don't know if it's because they're intact. I haven't really figured that out. But the important thing here is I don't care. I go the other way and avoid situations because it's not worth it. Like, I know that I'm not going to be able to reach this dog because he is literally doing what he is bred to do. And I talk about this a lot, especially on my Instagram, where I say, like, if he wasn't suspicious of new people and other dogs, I'd be like, well, this is kind of a dud. Now I have a dog that eats 4 pounds a day that won't protect me and my family. So I'm not mad about that. And it doesn't confuse me. I just have gotten to a point because it's maturity. This is important for you guys as a professional who literally, like, I'm an expert in reactivity. That's all I care about. It's all I do all day long. I can't stress enough how much research and evidence and training and I've just soaked it up for so long, right? Like, that's my bread and butter. And because Burley is this innate, like, I can't reach him. I can hold him back. I can try to choke him out, but then he gets pissed off and we're doing all these things. And I'm like, what's the point of this, right? Because obviously, you know, the person walking is probably like, well, this is pretty scary. But at the same time, there's no getting to him. You can't correct him. Like, no matter what you use, the e-collar, the prong collar, no matter what food you have, he doesn't care. You can't reach him. So if you have a dog that you can't reach because they are protective, because they are aggressive, or because they're reactive too, you know, you have to just make a decision. Like, here's the question you have to ask yourself. And I'm giving you all this context, because I want you guys to understand, like, where I'm coming from. If you're going through a walk with your dog and they start to react, here's kind of the strategy you should have. Is my dog reacting because they're excited to see another dog? That's a form of reactivity. Is my dog reacting because they don't know what to do? Is my dog reacting because they're being protective? Or is my dog reacting because they're aggressive and they don't like other dogs? So that's the format that you have to ask yourself as you're going through this with your dog. And I'll go over each strategy and what to do. So if your dog is, like, a lot of what I see on walks in my, you know, everywhere where I walk dogs and work with dogs and even in my own neighborhood, it's a lot of dogs who just don't have any boundaries or thresholds, right? And this is normal. This is 90% of dog owners. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with this. But there's also nothing really necessarily wrong with not working out and eating healthy. But if you do it, life's a lot better, right? So when you have a dog that's, you know, a lot of people, they walk their dog, they're on harnesses, they work a lot. So they're just getting their walks in when they can. And they're trying to let their dog get energy out, go potty, all that stuff. And again, totally understand that. But there's a huge disconnect. And so a lot of times when dogs are reactive, they're just like, they are so used to doing what they want to do. And when we hold them back, they get frustrated and they bark. They go to the other dog. Sometimes they're not so nice. Sometimes they are nice. Sometimes they want to play, or sometimes they're just being rude. Most often cases, they're just being rude. Like, a dog that's like that, they're just being rude, right? They just have no boundaries. They have no thresholds. The owner has no control. They're just getting dragged, right? Now we're right next to each other. That's common, right? That's just like a reactive dog. They see another dog and they get excited, they get fearful, they get rude, they get like, I need to come to you, I need to get in your face. It's like, you know, I have two human boys. I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And, you know, it's like when little kids, even my son does it, like, my 1-year-old will go up to people and just get right in their face and they don't know what to do, especially younger kids. They don't know how to handle that. They're like, what is this little human doing? So that's kind of like what that is. It's just rude, right? And, you know, it depends on the dog, right? So there's that type of reaction. And really, the way to solve that is work on your, and I talk about this a lot, but work on your skill sets. Heal, leave it, focus. You can use those things with a dog who doesn't have the innate protection or the innate aggressive behavior. You can use those low-hanging fruits of like, hey, quit the crap. Stop barking.
Her hair piles in the house.
She shed. Her hair was just everywhere.
At Rough Greens, we know dogs need live nutrition just like we do.
We have had a lot of issues with her skin.
Sometimes itching and scratching, lack of energy, digestive issues, they're not medical issues at all. But more likely, they're nutritional deficiencies from eating dead food.
A lot of the nutrients just aren't there anymore.
The good news is, you don't have to change your dog's food to improve your dog's health. Simply add a scoop of Rough Greens and make even the best dog food better.
I was truly amazed how fast it worked.
One of the most noticeable things is her coat doesn't have the itching.
He doesn't shed as much.
It wasn't even 2 weeks that I saw a drastic improvement.
We're so confident that your dog will love Rough Greens that we're going to let him try it before you buy it. Free. Just cover the shipping. Get your free bag of Rough Greens today at ruffgreens.com. That's ruffgreens.com.
I wish we would have found Rough Greens a lot sooner.
So good, your dog will ask for it by name.
Stay in your heel. They don't take it seriously. They go, oh, okay, shoot. I don't want to get in trouble. Oh, and I like food too, so I'm just going to do this instead. So they're not like a dog like Burley. And I keep referencing him because he is very, very nice to reference in this story, in this context. They're not Burley. Burley actually is... I was born to protect everything around me. And again, you can insert your own dog here. I was born to be suspicious of new things, and I must investigate, and I must be big and scary, and I must ward off anything, any threats. Like, that's his DNA. Like, he cannot change that, right? So if you do have a reactive dog, a lot of times it's just because you've allowed them to be reactive. They're bratty, they're pushy, they're just out of control. Right? I mean, think about it. Like, if you guys go out and you see kids like that, like, there's a time and a place where it's like kids need to be kids, but then there's a time and a place where kids are just absolutely rude, right? And the parents just don't care. That's a reflection of what's going on at home. And same thing with dogs. It's a reflection of the lack of training going on. And this is normal. Like, I would say 90% of dogs end up in this category. They don't do proper training. The dog may know sit, paw, shake, and roll over, but only for food, and that's it. And then their owners come home from work. In the morning, they let them out back to go pee and poop. When they come home from work, they walk the dog. The dog's back in. The kids eat dinner. They watch a show, and then they go to bed. That's most dogs. And again, no shade. I'm just saying, like, that's the normal scope of what a dog will get, right? So lack of training. Even if you don't have enough time for a lot of walks, it's still the quality of training that should be put in, right? So that's that type of reaction, right? Like, the dog's just that dog, right? There's a little bit of fear reaction that is kind of clumped in with that, in my opinion, as I'm separating these three things. And the fear is kind of like, I don't know what to do, and there's a dog, and I'm just going to bark because my owners never tell me I can't bark, and this is just my reaction. This is how I'm dealing with this. Like, somebody dumps cold water on you, you react, right? Your dog goes out and they react. Same, you handle that the same way. The dog really just doesn't know what to do, and you're allowing them to drive the ship, and you need to step in and go, hey, quit the crap and make better decisions. And the dog's likely going to, okay, fine, right? Accountability. Then you move into, again, like the more protective dogs, like the Burley, right? That's why I gave you context before we went over these three things. But Burley, again, is like a dog who, like Corsos, he's upstairs barking up, you can hear him. Corsos, obviously Mastiffs, German Shepherds, dogs, and most dogs, to be completely honest, like, have a sense of protectiveness, but some dogs were literally bred for hundreds of years to be suspicious of anything that's out of place. Anything that comes into your environment, they need to check out. And to give you an example, if my wife just got a new car, for an example. When we opened that garage door, he was like, what the hell is this? This is the same color as the old car, but it's shaped different. So now he's barking and growling at my wife's new car. Like, things like that. This dog, unless you really understand the breed or breed similar, it almost sounds like you got to be making this up. Like, if we bring in a new plant to the house, big deal, right? If my neighbors walk outside and like cook on their grill next door, big deal. He's like, there's something going on out there. It's not normal. And again, guys, I'm not complaining. It's not bad. That's why I got this dog. But my point is he is serious. He is going, hey, excuse me, we're about to die. I need to take over. It's like a threat to the president at that time. And so that's something I've really had to learn, because getting the breed, I knew how protective that's why I got him. And for those of you who don't know, some people ask, like, why'd you get it? You know, blah, blah, blah. And I made a whole video on that before. But the reality is there was a girl who went missing, a three-year-old, she was like a five-year-old girl, 10 minutes from my house, got kidnapped. And I had just one kid and another one on the way at the time. And I literally thought to my head, okay, Tom, you're the dog guy. We were going to get a nice chocolate lab. What is the most innately protective dog I have ever seen in my entire life? Which means you don't teach him protection. You don't need to teach him protection. They have it. It is wired in them in their DNA. Borble, 100%, hands down, no questions asked, no second. Not even enough. I've never worked with anything that comes close to it. Okay. So got one. So now, you know, and I've talked to the breeder about this and I've said this before. I think it's fun for you guys to kind of go on this journey with me, but he's definitely overkill for my family because of the things I'm talking about, right? Like a leaf moves and he's like, on it, got it. I'm going to go investigate. And he's big and goofy and we love him, but you know, we're going through the motions of what this dog is and learning as we go, which is fun. But that's where I kind of came up with these three different levels of leash reactivity, right? There's again, what we talk about reaction, there's the protective, and then there's the aggression, which we're going to get to. But the protection is if I don't go do what I think I need to do, or express the way I feel, or be able to fulfill my DNA right now, I think we're all gonna die. That's real. Like he needs to get to this thing. He needs to know what it is, right? So what can you do? Things I'm already talking about. I see a dog, he cues up and goes, I don't know this dog, who is this dog? And I'm like, because I'll be clear. Burley has never hurt another dog. He's never bitten another dog. My Dutch Shepherd whoops his ass all the time and he runs away. He plays with other dogs. He plays with other intact male dogs. He has no problem from what I've seen with other dogs outside of my neighborhood. Because the other caveat that you have to understand, especially with an intact male, which means he still has his balls, the walk that I bring him on 3 times a day since he was a puppy, that's his neighborhood. Full stop. Of course, it's not real. Like, it's not really his neighborhood. But you have to understand, dogs are animals. Especially, that's why they go out and pee on everything. That is his neighborhood. So when he sees another dog walking on the street, I'm like, oh, hey, neighbor. He's like, what are you doing in my house? That's what that's like. The person and the dog. So it's a double whammy. And so it depends on, it's kind of, and that's what I was saying earlier, is I really don't have much to do or much to say with what he finds as a threat. That is baked into him. And I just have to make a decision to go, what should I be doing here? And again, I'm not going to be able to say, hey, it's okay, it's just this person, because he's too worked up. And I'm not going to let him go to this person because it's scary, right? Like he's like, I got to get to you, right? And of course I wouldn't do that to anybody. No other dog wants to see that either. And so sometimes he does that and sometimes he doesn't. But again, that's that game I play. He's queued up. I'm going to walk the other way. And we have, like, we travel quite a bit, not anymore. Thank God. I've traveled so much over the years and I'm so grateful for that, all over the world, literally all over the world. My 3-year-old son just completed his 200th flight from Australia, not 200th flight from Australia, but 200th flight on his way home from Australia. And so that gives you like context of how much we've traveled over the years. And with Burley, when people watch him, we have kind of like a group of people who watch him and he stays at my facility. But I have a rule. If you see a dog, you turn around. I don't care about if you know that person or if they've played before, you turn around. There's no questions. And I know that you're going to be 100% safe and 100% successful. And the main reason is frankly, because he's had bad encounters with other dogs before. And I don't want anybody who isn't professional have to deal with that, right? It's just not okay. So anyway, there's times where he queues up, I turn around, I go the other way, I keep walking, I allow them to pass and I go. Now as a trainer, there's nothing wrong with that because it's the safest, most effective route to be successful. Because when he does react, I'm not confused. I'm not like, what is going on? Why can't you just, I know exactly why it's happening. And from a dog training standpoint, really that's my objective. If I can figure it out of why it's happening, then likely, especially for all my clients that have helped over the years, I can deconstruct exactly what we need to do and reverse engineer how we need to be successful. And most dogs do not fit under this category. And so therefore we are successful, very successful. Moving on to the aggression. So there are certain dogs, you know, over the years who have been abused and have been like a lot of dogs, that's a common thread. Dogs who have been attacked when they were puppies have, this happened to my puppy Burley, happened to him in my neighborhood with another dog. Basically, the person didn't have super good control over the dog and the dog got to him, and I was like, all right, that's fine. He was a puppy, 6 months old at the time. I was like, oh, who's this? Miss our new friend. And then all of a sudden the dog went rawr, rawr, to Burley, and he was like, what the hell? That could be the reason, not likely, that he has more of an inkling to be reactive. But my point is some dogs who have had like traumatic experiences, they just don't like dogs anymore. I've also had dogs in the past in my life where they hit a certain age, they don't like dogs. It's over. I've had dogs go to daycare for 4 or 5 years, and then all of a sudden they don't like dogs. Okay. Again, it is what it is. So I'm going to spend the rest of my life successful. It's inconvenient, but I'm going to spend the rest of my life successful. Sorry guys. I went to work out this morning and my hair is all slimy, not slimy, but like dry. And anyway, if you're watching this on Spotify or YouTube, sorry, but that the aggression, or you just have a dog who just doesn't like other dogs, like full stop. They don't like other dogs. They will try to kill other dogs. They will try to bite other dogs. These dogs are typically silent, like typically. They really like wait for an opportunity to get close and then go. The dogs who are the loudest are usually the ones who are just, they're reactive, right? They just need to get there and they need to figure everything out. Again, I'm self-conscious a little bit because I'm not trying to make this all about my dog. I'm just using him as reference because it's going to be really helpful for you guys. But Burley, if he was that reactive and I let him go, he would go up there, he would posture. And if the other dog play bowed, he would probably play. If they rolled over, he'd probably walk away. And if they tried to fight him, he would also just stand there because he's done that. I've had dogs literally try to go after him and other people are trying to pull their dogs back and he's just standing there. Like it's wild. But, and again, could be the reason why he's like, maybe I don't like dogs, or maybe I need to be big now, or probably not. But so a lot of the aggression dogs, there is a degree of they just don't like other dogs, and there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing any trainer can do about it. You have to just do what I'm talking about, is you manage the situation. And a lot of times I also talk about what's the ROI, return on investment. You have a dog that doesn't like other dogs. You've seen it over and over again. There's no point in risking getting close to another dog if you don't have to. Again, my job for my reactive dogs is try to get to the core of like the reason why we're reactive, and then try to remove the stress from the owner. Like that's my job. That's why I think I've been so successful with a lot of dogs that I've worked with, because my main goal is to go, okay, the owner came in stressed out of their mind. I need to pull the stress off the owner. Then, you know, they're going to be happier. They're going to be more comfortable. They're going to be more confident. Burt's Bees is the best chapstick, by the way. Not an ad, but just my favorite. I don't go anywhere without it. So a lot of times I just tell these dog owners, like, hey, if your dog likes tug, play tug, move past. If your dog likes food, give them food, move past. But so 90% of dogs, I will try to work through. I will say, hey, there's no reason for you to be this reactive. We need to work through this. Let's modify this. That's most dogs. 9 times out of 10, that's most dogs. And we do successfully. You guys have seen it over and over again on my YouTube channel. That's objective, right? Like that's what we can do. But there are these percentage of dogs, and I have one, and some of my clients around the world do have, and they just don't like other dogs. And it's not worth you trying to put yourself in an unsafe situation to then really distill down, okay, even if we did get through that situation and it was successful, meaning we didn't have a huge reaction, how stressed were you? And what was the risk of it not going well? You letting go of the dog, getting dragged, and then the dog biting somebody else? And that's the difference between like a protection dog and an aggressive dog. Like again, a dog like Burley wouldn't do anything to another dog. And I say that now, and again, I'm not naive to eat my own words in 5 years, 2 years, 6 months. Hopefully not, but he's good with dogs. He lives with other dogs. He's friendly. He plays with dogs. But my point is like typically those protective dogs are big, scary. I need to get to you. I need to check your ID. And of course we don't allow that to happen. And so that kind of, but that's the big difference in significance between the aggression and the protection is the aggression actually, when they do get to the other dog, they will fight the other dog. They will try to hurt the other dog. They will bite. They will cause damage. But I think the solution, and sometimes we can get a dog that is very aggressive and get them back down to just a little reactive, but it still doesn't change the way they feel about other dogs. So there's kind of like this ladder that you go up and down. But I would say just knowing what you have and understanding the dog you have will make you so much more successful, so much more confident because you know what you have. Like so many people are like, I want my dog to be somebody they're not. And then I go, well, let's stop right there. You know, an example would be my two dogs fought into the death one day and I want them to like each other again. Let's stop right there. You are for the rest of your life going to be very, very, very frustrated and upset because you're trying to put a square in a round hole. It's not going to work. They don't like each other anymore. And you have to just manage the situation or get rid of one of the other dogs. And you guys have heard that on my podcast several times with several different cases. And so I just find that the more, like for me with Burley, in the beginning stages, again, using him as an example, when I go out, I'm trying to figure him out and he's developing and maturing. Now that he's two, I can kind of figure out, okay, again, here's the strategy. He locks in on a dog, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to avoid the situation, especially because there's a good chance the other person walking with the dog doesn't have control, right? So I'm going to go the other way because there's no point in me trying to move past that. That's not necessary, right? And I'm not looking at him confused and wanting to change that because I can't. That's the missing piece a lot of people have a hard time with. Now, most people, again, to reiterate, do have a dog that you can modify. They do have a dog that you can change. Most people, right? You just have to find the source of the issue and then try to modify that and work through that, right? So that's what I really, and I hope that this makes sense. I know that like when I do these kind of live podcasts without cuts or edits or anything, it can be kind of a mismatch. Let me know in the comments on YouTube and on Spotify if this is helpful. But I wanted to kind of separate the differences between reaction, protection, and aggression. And again, I kind of came up with this idea with Burley is if you don't know on the outside, you would think that he's a vicious dog sometimes because how reactive he can be. But same thing with half the Goldens in my neighborhood sometimes when they're reactive, right? But you have to look beyond the reaction. You have to look beyond the bark. You have to look past that and go, what's the real intentions here? What do we actually have here? What is actually going on? And so that's why I wanted to make this podcast and make this video. Again, hopefully this was helpful. If you guys haven't checked out some of my other, I just had Dr. Ava Frick on, Dr. Matt Kaberline, and a bunch of other great guests are coming on the podcast that I would encourage you guys to check out, specifically the Dr. Frick podcast, one of the best podcasts I've done that I've enjoyed by what she was saying. She's a chiropractor. She's been a vet before I was born. An amazing podcast. You can check that out, of course, on all my podcast platforms. Thank you guys so much for watching and listening. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we'll talk to you on the next pod. Peace.
Hair piles in the house.
She said her hair was just everywhere.
At Rough Greens, we know dogs need live nutrition just like we do.
We have had a lot of issues with her skin.
Sometimes itching and scratching, lack of energy, digestive issues, they're not medical issues at all, but more likely they're nutritional deficiencies from eating dead food.
A lot of the nutrients just aren't there anymore.
The good news is you don't have to change your dog's food to improve your dog's health. Simply add a scoop of Rough Greens and make even the best dog food better.
I was truly amazed how fast it worked.
One of the most noticeable things is her coat doesn't have the itching.
It doesn't shed as much.
It wasn't even 2 weeks that I saw a drastic improvement.
We're so confident that your dog will love Rough Greens that we're going to let them try it before you buy it. Free. Just cover the shipping. Get your free bag of Rough Greens today at ruffgreens.com. That's RUFFGreens.com.
I wish we would have found Rough Greens a lot sooner.
So good, your dog will ask for it by name.